Good. Okay, so we are recording. Today is Sunday, April 24th, and we are starting the very last chapter in the Sealed Book of Mormon. It is chapter 14. This whole chapter is about the allegory of the olive tree, which a lot of people have studied. I think this, I've read part of this already now. I think it really is enlightening as to taking the allegory and making it real to ourselves. John Pratt wrote an article before he passed away. It was in October. It is on his website. And Lisa found it for me and kind of got me hooked up with it, because every time I go look for it, I can't find it. So just be patient, search through, and it will come up. It's his last article, and he was very, very excited about this chapter. He bubbled when he talked about it. It was awesome. Engaged into it and loved what it said. So I hope that we all can get to that point of understanding with the Holy Spirit with us. Much of what this talks about is how this one idea of the olive tree surpasses all of time, from the beginning to where we are now. And it talks about the tribes and people, groups, and coming to the Lord. And all of that's very important. But I was thinking today, it also, the olive tree also represents us. It represents our relationship with God. So you can look at it in two forms. You can look at it as learning how the tribes and how Satan works against us, and how we become stronger with the amount of people, how as a groups our people are going to come together. But I also want to put yourself into that idea that this is a relationship between you and God, and the olive tree is you, and what you do and what you go through and the challenges and trials that you face throughout this life. And some of those are the bad branches, and some of those are the good branches, and also the people that come to you and help you or try to pull you away from God, either direction. Think about what God's given to us, what is available for us to use besides just scriptures. So prayer and people's attitudes and their comments and how they want to treat you, and how you can still persevere through everything and come out on the other end. So as we read this chapter, that's what I'd like you to think of, is the two different ideas. And both of them, I think, are right. It doesn't matter. And I think we should know both of them, both of the ideas. So. And the other thing I noticed in here is that as we get more into this, there's going to be a lot of footnotes. We may not get to that part, but I think when we do get to the part where there's starting to be so many footnotes, that we each take, like someone take the RLDS book and have that looked up, and someone take the LDS book and have that one looked up, we'll like see who has what. And then we research those about what they say as we read the verse. I think that that'll help bring some more things to us. So in starting out, I'm just going to read the first verse and we'll go on that. So verse 1 of chapter 14 says, "And taking the book of Jacob into his hands, Jesus proceeded to say, 'This is why the scriptures of the ancient prophets speak by means of illustrations, so that, seeing no one notices and does not pay attention to his message, For it is necessary that this simple truth related to your feelings remain as a sacred secret from generation to generation, so that only in the final part of the fullness of times, this may come in its purity and perfection, without ever having been distorted under the precepts of men. My comment on that is that I think it pretty much says exactly what it means. That as we learn what we're learning today from this book, our eyes are opened up as to the history of this allegory and the meaning of it. And that it's been saved and nobody's trampled on it or distorted it or came up with a different idea and it became a tradition to believe it in that way. It's amazing how the Lord has put all this together. So that's my comment. Any other thoughts?
Well, it says here, when it talks about the simple truth related to our feelings were the sacred secret that were to be revealed in these days or in the final part of the fullness of times, you know, I just have the question as to, so I know the priests of Mahan understood this, they understood this feelings thing, you know, it's up in these old books that they have, but the fact that it's been hidden for so long, not only by their secret handshakes and combinations, but has also been ordained by God to have gone that route where they didn't really share that with as many people. But now we're getting it. You know, I think that it really shows God's wisdom. And because if he would have gave it to us and just let us keep it through all these generations, it just would have been trampled over and trampled over. Because even when he gives us the little stuff based off of times past and the history, given even the people the crumbs, you know, we tend to even reject the crumbs, you know. So it's a certain special thing to know that at this time he saw that we would be ready to receive this. And there were tons of generations he could have given it to, and there were a few that he did, but he kept sealing it back up and giving it at the right time. And, you know, that's just something that really stuck out to me. And what was it? No, I'm thinking about another verse, but that's it. That's my comment.
One thing that Brother Bob told me about this verse is that we need to actually be diligent and seek this message that's been given us, just like what JT says, is, you know, actually seeking it and trying to learn from it and being diligent to learn the secrets and stuff that will help us. That's all.
Any other thoughts? Okay. Lisa, that's a good point. Thank you. It's more when we have the desire to ask that we will learn from things. James, would you read verse 2?
Happy, therefore, are your eyes, for they watch, ears, they hear the reading of these words of mine and unravel this great mystery that was hidden by all the times predetermined by me and my Father, since before the foundation of the world, to be revealed to my humble followers. Only when the workers of my vineyard are ready to do the work in the field abandoned by the earliest workers, for the purpose of restoring the gifts of God proceeding from his name among those who take upon themselves the name of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a lot in there that I would have to ponder to really understand. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about that.
Okay, that's fine. Anybody else?
Well, there's a great mystery that he's unraveling here.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, and it's a special time. It says, when the workers in my vineyard are ready to do the work. So are we ready to do the work? Are we gonna, going to study and learn and restore these gifts for the purpose of restoring the gifts of God proceeding from his name? I don't know, it's very exciting. Happy therefore your eyes, for they watch, and your ears, for they hear the reading of these words of mine. So it's a happy, joyful time. Exciting.
I like the part where it says, hidden by all times, predetermined by me and my Father, that this is the right time. They chose it. They worked on it together. They know exactly what we need. And it has a purpose. It says right there, there's the purpose. The purpose is to restore the gifts of God. That's just amazing. The Holy Spirit, all the gifts. We're going to learn why we may not learn right here, but we're going to come to the understanding of why his name has been guarded and kept secret. We have lots of other names, but the true name is to protect him and our mother in heaven. I love this. This is going to be a fun chapter. Anybody else?
I loved Lisa's comment, and it made me think of Doctrine and Covenants 46, I believe, where it lists the gifts of the Spirit. But in chapter 14 here in the sealed book, it says, revealed to my humble followers. And that how it was abandoned, and those gifts were revealed unto Joseph Smith. So I'm curious to know if there's going to be new gifts, but the interesting things about the gifts in DNC 46, if my mind's recalling that right, is they're listed in order of importance. And as you study Joseph Smith, you can see how he gained each of those gifts one by one. He didn't just pray and have Moroni come to him and receive everything and all of those gifts as a prophet, seer, and revelator. He acquired them one by one through many tests and many trials. And the gifts that seem pomp and circumstance, you know, to have the gift of tongues and gift of prophecy and all of the gifts of healing, the fancy ones at the end, those are not as important as to, number one, to know that Jesus is the Christ, and to know is not a belief which is attached to your lapel by your mommy, but a knowledge that you know, you have firsthand experience, an interaction, a relationship with Christ. And the second is to believe on someone else's testimony. So hearing somebody's testimony like John Pratt's and having his knowledge, and you hear the truthfulness in his testimony, and you know that what is being said is true. So those are the first two of the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm excited to see that it was abandoned by the earliest workers, and that restoring these gifts proceeding forward, it's an exciting time that we're living in. And the responsibilities on our shoulders are great. If we will listen, we can be those humble followers that all of this is revealed to, if our heart is right and if we have open ears and minds for understanding. So it's so exciting when I heard Lisa read that. So thank you for that, Long John.
Thank you, Darla. It is section 46. You're right about that. And it's the end of it. And I've just glanced at it quickly. I do believe the first one is starts on verse 17. It says, "And again, verily, I say unto you, to some is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom. And another is given," and then it goes on, "knowledge and taught to be wise and to have knowledge," and it continues down. So if having wisdom about what we're doing and going forward, I think that's really, really important. Maybe discernment comes in on that category too.
Wisdom. And Jeannie, that just throws another thing. Many times when wisdom is spoken of in the Book of Mormon or in the scriptures, that is Mother in Heaven cloaked. So having that spirit of wisdom is one of the things that is really hidden in our scriptures that we have to really pay attention to get that insight into our hearts. Indeed, that's exciting too. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, cool. Anybody else?
Not really anything profound, but the last phrase, gift of the Holy Spirit, has quotes around it. And to kind of separate it and give it a little more meaning. So that's something to ponder on.
It is.
Yeah. I think the reason they did that was to really differentiate, as Lisa said, there's a difference between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Ghost itself, as the gift is personally given unto you to have as a right when your hand, when someone's hands are laid on your head to administer that to you. So I think that's what they may have been trying to differentiate. So that's my comment. I could read verse 3.
Okay, go ahead, JT.
And verse 4.
I think I want to talk about 3 separate for a minute. So you can read verse 4, but let's take a break between the two of them.
And thus you may recognize the true sentiments of my priesthood and may grace among the children of men as to the gifts of the evil that were created by Satan to deceive and overcome the heavenly gifts in the world of mankind.
Okay, comments? I think this verse, Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, just a couple comments. First of all verses, the 1 through 3, they're all talking about the sacred secret of the simple truth and about feelings. So all of these talks about the feelings being that very important part to help us draw closer to Heavenly Father. Brother Bob, he did a talk, or he has an article, you can go to his website, talking about the 6 sacred secrets that are in the sealed book. And this is secret number 6, sacred secret number 6. So anyways, I wanted to mention that. And then just the my priesthood and my grace. And as we know from earlier in the book, sealed Book of Mormon, that my priesthood was given to men and my grace was given to women. So just a separation of that.
Okay, good point. Yeah, and talking with the people in the hospital and stuff, I don't think women understand what their role really is. And so that's very interesting. This simple little verse, I think directly points out without fail the battle between good and evil, wickedness and God. And that Satan has been given the ability to exercise these things over us. And it says quite simply that he will be able to deceive us and he will be able to overcome the heavenly gifts. I think we should say at the end, if we let him. He has the power, we have to take it back. And that I think comes from the desire to be closer to Heavenly Father. Lisa, that's a good point about what the priesthood is and my grace. And that's why we know we're in the end times, because the Lord wouldn't need to fight Satan if we were still in progress. He would be letting everything happen. Now he's come to us and said, you're my warriors, and now you need to stand up and do the fighting and pick up the priesthood powers and pick up the grace that has been given to us, and tell Satan he has no authority over us. And as we grow in our understanding, that's the goal of where we're going to go, is to move from the left hand to the right hand. I love that. And become closer to God.
I had a thought, Jeannie, two. One of them is I had an education week class one time, and it was showing how everything that the chain of command and everything that Heavenly Father and Christ have set up on this earth, that Satan has mimicked. So when there is a Godhead, he also has his powers and his minions and everybody set forth to do his bidding for his roles. And so I think that's interesting, because the gifts of evil that were created by Satan, that he knows his father's protocols, he knows his SOPs, all those standard operating procedures, that he's got it down, that it's easy to recreate the wheel for his evil designs, and that we have to be wiser than him. We have to be aware, because the heavenly gifts of mankind, yes, can be deceived and overcome, but that is dependent on our vigilance and keeping true to the light. And it's fun, because it's not by accident that Satan's here. He was cast down here. Why? What the heck? Do we not have a chance? But we do, because we were given the light. And so when we understand that that's part of the purpose and plan, it's like, okay, this is what we signed up for. Bring it on. It's part of the test, and we got this.
Yeah.
You know, so if we kind of keep that mentality, knowing that this is playing out as it was foreordained and as it was designed, it can help us keep our sanity and keep fear and doubt at bay when those are tools that Satan uses. Not only fear and doubt, but being unwanted from other people, being thought of as strange, being thought of as different, and uses discouragement and despair in my case. So there's just many things that Satan will use against us, and that we have to seek after those gifts of light that Heavenly Father has implemented here in his plan for us, that are available to us if we seek those gifts and get them one at a time, as Joseph Smith did, through our diligence and application and using what he's given us.
Well, there were a couple of things I wanted to point out to add on to what you all were saying. Well, I think somebody's called in, 435. So how you doing? Welcome to the group.
Good.
Okay. The first thing I wanted to point out or just add on to was what Lisa was talking about regarding to the grace, how men are given the priesthood and women are given the grace. And, you know, it was something that always passed my mind for a few years is that, you know, the most powerful position a woman can have is when she's in her grace. It's kind of like unsettling. So you ever like, I know Steve could probably relate to this, but like you're kind of angry, you know, and you're just ready to tear something down. And then your woman is just sitting there, peace and calm. And you kind of like thrown off by her. You're like, oh my goodness. And you don't know what to do. So you just relax like her. It's a very powerful position. And I think when women understand that, then not only will they become more in tune with their nature and their natural vibration, but they can also help bring about the gospel the way it needs to be. You know, it's very powerful. And then the second point I wanted to bring out was, so Satan can mimic and copy the gifts. And I think that was revealed earlier in the sealed book, you know, previous chapter, how he can mimic those divine feelings. And it made me think about this whole law of attraction type of gig, where if you feel you want it, you can get it because it's a law. But when you get it and you're splurging it on yourself and not creating an atmosphere that creates equality amongst all of your peers or all of humanity, then that good feeling is actually a feeling given to you by Satan because it's selfish. So when it talks about in this verse, Satan deceiving and overcoming the heavenly gifts because he can mimic them and make them feel as if they're divine feelings. Oh, it's a neat little trick. And if the feelings that we have aren't for the whole of everybody, then the feelings that we have aren't really divine.
Well said, Jake.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And thank you, Darla, too, for your words. Of course, Satan couldn't come up with a better plan than God. He can only mimic it. And then it's up to us. And that's what the test is. So our person who's on the phone, do you have a name you want to say?
Yeah, my name is Dewey.
Dewey.
And I am up in Independence. I'm walking right by the Hezekiah and the temple. I've never come in through the phone. I was hoping I could do FaceTime and show you a little bit around. We're having a restoration conference up here. And so we have the Sealed Book of Mormon people, Gary and Renee. We have the Hedekites. We have the, I guess I would be the Brighamites. So it's the Utah people, the Missouri people. A lot of people that came when Jonathan put on the Passover. And so, you know, they're here talking about Zion. And some of the people that will build Zion are here. I'm absolutely certain of it, and they've been, you know, testifying of their missions. So anyway, I'm glad my phone works.
Thank you, Dewey. We've been missing you.
Yeah, I kind of get on this night schedule, and I don't know. And Zion is moving in Missouri. There is no question about it. Boy, when I see all the poverty here, too. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to build Zion here, that's for sure.
Great. I'm glad you got here. We're on chapter 14, the last chapter, Dewey, if you didn't catch that.
And okay.
We're starting with verse 4, and JT is going to read that for us.
Do you think you could mute your phone? Because there's
You're getting wind noise.
Yeah, a lot of wind.
Let me see what I can do.
I don't know. Is it a number? Like, does anyone know if it's like a number 7 or 9 that you push to mute? I forget.
Well, nobody just press mute, but it sounds like it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, time to read. Listen, therefore, to him who has the desire to understand even more of this great mystery, which is revealed to you in this moment, in which my words come to you in the last days. For verily I, Jesus Christ, make known to you the meaning of the parable of the good olive tree prophesied to the house of Israel. Now that you can understand in its simplicity this analogy uttered by my servant Zenos with regard to good feelings from God to his children on earth.
I like that it says desire. I really feel that that's so important. And Jesus made this parable known when he was on earth with the apostles and everything. And here it does say that it's to the house of Israel, to the group of people that are his children. And he says it's a simple analogy. I guess the simple part of it is the good feelings from God to his children. Anyone else? How many of you have read John Pratt's article?
I have, but it's been a while.
Okay. Me too. Well, I haven't even had a chance to read all of it because I couldn't find it. But it is listed on his website, johnpratt.com. And it's the last article that he wrote. I think because of the time, if we start going forward, because now we're going to start getting into what the parable is about, that if we read that John wrote, let's read that for next week, and then we can start the beginning of the allegory of the I think that would be a good way to be prepared for this lesson. Lisa's going to lead us. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah, I'll start with verse 5 next week. I also want to mention, if anyone's watching the recording, that Brother Bob Cackler, his website to find, he has a lot of fantastic articles on his website, but it's thesealedbooktruth.org is his website. And so that Sacred Secret article is on that website, as well as many, many other wonderful articles. So that's another resource.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. Don't forget that we're going to have a prayer. Our prayer circle is on Wednesday at noon Mountain Daylight Time on Wednesdays. All right, I'm going to stop the recording.
Is that the same link for the prayer circle?